All right, we're in chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, the sequel of 1 Corinthians. There's been other letters, and these are the two that God would have us to know, to cherish, to be preserved, to learn from, to believe in. A lot of subject of comfort so far has come up in the first 15 verses there, the word being used 10 times, that God is a God of comfort, and making that clear to us that we're not just in the knowledge of that, we're in the flow of that. That it's a flow from heaven, from this God of comfort, flowing through his people to each other. So there's a constant flow of comfort that's happening even now as we're together. There's comfort being together in the body of Christ. So that's the experience of being a Christian in the fellowship of believers, is a place of comfort. That's a cool word for peace, by the way. You're in comfort. There's a peace that is hard to describe, not as the world understands. So he continues in verse 15, "And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit. I have more to give to you." Paul's actually here going to explain why there was a delay, why he didn't come when he said he was going to. Apparently there might have been some people that were a little upset, so he spends a little time here explaining the importance of his intention and the importance of standing by your word as well. So an interesting conversation he brings up. "And to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and up to you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Was I flippant? Did I just say things and not really mean them? Or things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no, or, you know, flipping back and forth? But as God is true, our word towards you was not yes and no." Paul is recognizing that he represents a God of truth, and that what he says is significant, and he wants them to know that. Because there was a change in plans, it didn't represent flakiness, or it didn't represent shallowness, that his words can be broken just like that, or changed just like that. He needs to convey to them that truth is very important. We did actually one of our Wednesday night studies last year was about this, and it was called Solid Word, or Solid Wood. We passed around, if anybody remembers that was here, we passed around a very rotted log, and we had a very solid piece of cherry as well to compare the two to each other. We opened up our service with that verse that sprung us into that teaching when we were in James about, above all, brethren, after you talked about adultery, after you talked about sin, after you talked about all of these things, giving to the poor, having your faith with works and all this, he says, above all, brethren, be true. Just be true. Be true. So I went into a long teaching on that, about all the different things that we do that circumvent that deal with that. You know, we have expressions, favorite expressions, like we say, well, to be honest. You know, and you think about that, and what was it, you know, 5 minutes ago? If you're just saying, is this when so let me know when you're not being honest then. And then after that sentence, say, I'm done being honest. You should say, well, I'm done being honest after you begin a sentence, to be honest. Obviously, I'm trying to be funny because I use that expression sometimes myself, but it's to bring a point forward that we should always be in that solid wood, that hard, through and through, it's integrity in the things that we do. Why? Because we have a God inside of us, is that he is a God of truth. He is a God of truth. And we're going to see in the next few verses that Paul talks about this God of truth, that in him, in Christ, the promises of God are always yes. They're always yes. What he says is true. His promises sometimes are difficult, that you will be persecuted. You know, that's a difficult promise, but they're true. They're absolutely true. He's simply bringing this forward, that truth is paramount, that we're to have this integrity within us, and that whatever the circumstance was justified. Whatever the change was, wasn't because of his word not being sound. It was because there was a legitimate change of plans. So he continues. "For the Son of God," in verse 19, "Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. He wasn't flipping. That yes and no was that flipping back and forth. But in him was yes. When God gives you a promise, that's true. It's firm. We know that God does, he puts something above his own name. And it's not chocolate. It's, I would do that. It's not pleasure. It's not glory. It's not, what is it? What does he put above his name? His word. His word. He puts his word above it. It says that in Psalm, I think it's 139. I can't remember the exact one. It's in the Psalms. That he puts his word above his name. And some people will take advantage of that like a little brat and say, well, God, you said this. And then, you know, and you've had children do that. And it's like, no, that's not how, that's, you're using that word in, out of context and not in the intention. That's not what it's about. And some people go in that direction. The Word of Faith movement kind of tends in that direction. It's like you forgot your relationship with God that has that word, that's given that word. And it's like, no, he's got to stand by his word. And you know, it's all, it kind of separates and you get kind of creeped out. It's like, where is God in this? And all of a sudden it's you in this word. And it becomes strange. So I don't go in that direction. I don't encourage anybody to go in that direction. I encourage you to love God with all of your mind, all of your heart, and all of your body. To fall in love with this God. And realize that his promises for you are yes. They're always true. Because he loves you. And never lose that connection of your relationship with him in love. That this truth is important. Why does God put his word above his name? Why is this yes and no? What is all this being talked about here by Paul? Why does he put his word above his name? What good is your name if your word is no good? Mm-hmm. Who is this God that we worship if what he says isn't true? And sometimes, you know, it's flippy-floppy. One day, you don't know, I don't know if God's in a bad mood today. He's going to stand by his word. And he's going to stand by what he promised me. So that's the idea. He puts his word, for that reason, he puts his word above his name. Because his name is dependent on that word. It's a relationship he has with his own truth. So we know God exists in a relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus is the word that became flesh. And that word has been elevated above the name. And we can look at Jesus, follow Jesus, and realize that he is the Word of God that we're following.
Focus on the truth.
Amen. What's that?
Focus on the truth.
Yeah. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has sealed us and given the earnest or the deposit of the Spirit in our hearts. So there's a promise right there. So I want to spend a little time talking about the promises of God, because this is a point that is obviously a big one. And this is not the promises of God. I have them somewhere. There's so many. There they are. So this is one of the things that, you know, you're teaching the Bible, you're going through the Scripture, and you could just read through this and, hey, you get to another point and make that point. But God, for some reason, has me pausing here. He has me pausing here, really looking at this. Folks, we need to love the simplicity and sincerity of integrity of truth. Of simply not being ashamed of what truth is. God would have us to have that heart, that mind. Because he is a God of truth. And listen to these promises that he has of you, has for you and for me. All of these come under the umbrella of Christ. Notice that. In verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So all of the promises of God aren't something I could hand out in the street until I give them this first promise. That's the big one. It's such a big promise, it's given a fancy word, the new covenant. The New Testament, that's just simply, it's a promise of God given to man. Not dependent on man anymore. A promise of God that's dependent on God Himself. Dependent on the work that was done on the cross. We simply enter into a work that's already done. We begin at the finish line in our life and our walk with God. Does that make any sense to anybody? If you've ever been to a wedding feast, it should make sense, because you walk in, if you haven't done any preparations, you walk into months and months of preparation, of sweat and anguish, bridezilla, all the fights, all the junk that went on, all the cost, and you simply sit your rear end down and into a chair and feast. That is what the gospel is. The work has been done. We enter in at the finish line. So that's the promise that we're handing out there. Hey, there's a promise of God. Did you know the promise of God? This is the one you need to know. And it's Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Safe, sozo, forever sealed by God. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, our words, confession is made unto salvation. Interesting, the first promise of God given by His word involves words from our own mouth. Isn't that interesting? It seals the deal. What's happening in the heart, believing? What's happening in the mouth, speaking? And the promise of God is realized. Did you know that all the other promises are realized the same way? In the same way you received Him, you so walk in it. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. The training wheels are right there by first receiving that first promise and receiving God Himself. This is what faith is all about. Faith is the key that unlocks all the promises. Beginning with that first one, that's just the first one of many, but it is the most important one. Without it, no other promises can be realized. None. Zero. So the new covenant, the gospel, is that first promise. Let's take a look at some more. Let's take a look first, though, at the faith that it takes to open these, just briefly here. Romans 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand. How do we receive the gospel? By faith. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Access by faith. You hear the key turning? Click. The door opening. It's access by faith. What is faith? There's a seen and unseen part of faith. There's the unseen part in the heart, the believing, and the seen part, it's coming out. My words are starting to be changed by what's happening in my heart. Faith always has an unseen and a seen part. It's the substance of things hoped for, substance of things hoped for, something you can't see. It's the evidence of things unseen. Right there in our own salvation, you see what faith is all about. Another verse about faith, Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by fear. The just shall live by their own opinions. The just shall live by anger. The just shall live by wealth. The just shall live by education. No! The just shall live by faith, by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. That's how we walk forward in this life. These are the keys to the kingdom of God that the Pharisees would hold back from people. God, help us get out in the street and give people these keys. Give them the keys, whether it's buying them lunch, as was discussed this morning, or whatever it is. Give them the keys that they need. Don't withhold them. Don't put up big things that they have to jump over. Just give them the keys. Let's unlock some promises this morning. In this book we're in now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Click. Door open. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm saying that with my mouth now, believing in my heart. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are new. Lord, you've given me new eyes. You've given me new ears. All old things are passed away. They're gone. They're gone. That shield of faith comes up every day. I'm telling you, it's not only a key, it's a shield. It's active. Who was telling me about that shield that it's reaching out? It's a lot more than we think it is. Maddie was. All things become new. I believe that, Lord God, in my heart. I'm speaking it, Lord, not because I'm just saying some, I'm trying to do some witchcraft incantation that I say the right word and something happens. No, there's a believing, Lord God. You're after my heart. You're after my heart. You want me to believe that in here, Lord. And the words are simply just, it's like soda that's shook up. It's the pressure being released of the truth that's happening in my heart. A promise of peace. Would you like that today? Well, it's released through faith, the same way you received him. Walk in it. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. I have peace with God. I believe that, Lord. I believe your word is true. I believe that promise is true. I believe it's not wavering. You're not a God that wavers. I have peace with you. I have peace with you. It's not conditional on me, Lord God. It's conditional on Jesus Christ. I see it. I see it in the contract. I see it written in blood. I see it. I believe it, Lord God. I have peace with you. The first time in my life. I have peace with you, Lord God. Promise of his presence in us. Romans 5:5. You don't have to go far. Just stay in one book. There's so many promises. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That was also in the chapter we're in today. And it talks about that earnest deposit, that good faith giving of us the Spirit of God. We're earthen vessels. Maddie talking about that this morning, you know, just that failure that we all feel. It's like, can everybody can identify what he's talking about. I shoulda, woulda, duda, duda, you know, all of this stuff. And it's like, God, help me next time. God, help me next time. And he will. But that Holy Spirit that's sealed within us, the promise of his presence, the treasure within earthen vessels, that earthen vessel, what we struggle with every single day, that we look in the mirror at. The promise of his presence, click, unlocked by faith. By believing in the heart, confessing with the mouth. What? What do we confess? Romans 5:5. Your love, God, is shed abroad in my heart by the presence of your Holy Ghost. I receive that. I believe that, Lord God, that you are dwelling within me. Not by anything I've ever done. My mind is even at enmity with you. That doesn't matter. Lord, it's your grace, it's your blood that makes it possible for the inroad of the Spirit to indwell me all the time. I am not alone. I will not fear, for thou art with me. You are with me. Your rod and the staff, you comfort me, Lord God. You comfort me. That first song you sang today, Gretchen, oh my goodness. Talk about staggering under the promises of God. These promises are incredible. How far do we go with these things? The promise of purpose. Speaking of addiction today, there is... I watched just a brainiac guy. He's a pharmacologist, and he has 8,000 other doctorates. And you know, his tie is the skinny part of the tie is like this, and the fat part is like that, and his hair is like this. And he's talking about this, all these things, and he's talking about, you know, what the problem is. You know, this was 10 years ago. He's gone now. He's just mad. He's a wonderful scientist. Joe Foch loves him. He's had lunch with him, and just very A. Wilder is his name. You could see him on YouTube. But he talked about he talked about evolution, and he talked about these things. He's very in tune with chemicals and what's happening when you shoot up and you get that ramp up real high, and you got to shoot fast so you can do that. If you don't, you're on the flat. And he's talking about all these things and how they experiment with rabbits and all of these things. And then he brings it down to this. He talks about purpose. He said that all of that is to give a pseudo feeling of purpose that emptiness that is there being fulfilled, and to bring that purpose back. Evolution is a great stealer of that. Subtly so. Sometimes people are like, oh, I don't know, but yeah, it's affected you. It's affected you. It's bled out the purpose. in the revolution of the 60s and the Jesus movement, there was that death that had come, and what was the problem? There wasn't any purpose anymore. It was like, we can blow up the world now, and everybody was like, what's going on? There was that loss of purpose. And so again, searching it through the psychedelics, searching it through mushrooms and acid, and taking speed with acid so you can have the 10 time trip and all of this stuff to seek, to grab a hold of something, purpose, to grab that purpose. So it was a good YouTube video to watch. Very entertaining as well with his appearance. Here's a purpose promise unlocked with faith, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Wow, He's like the Father in heaven that's got this purpose for me. He knows who I am. He's laid things out for me. He's got things that I'm to walk in and to do and to experience and to learn. The promise of purpose unlocked by the keys of faith. One last one, the promise of identity. Perhaps that should be the first one right under the gospel. The first thing you encounter is you have a new identity in Him. Romans 8:29 is right under 8:28. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We did this a couple of weeks ago. This is my dressing mirror that I used to use. And this is what I would see every day. This is the guy I've got to deal with. This is the guy that, who I am. And to move this out of the equation, which we had the picture at the time of Jesus there that the painter did during the worship sessions. And that's my new identity. That's my new identity. And to let that one die and to find what that new identity really is. Who am I in Christ? What does it mean to lay my life down for my wife? What does it mean to love enemies? I don't get that. That doesn't jive. What's the punching out Paul that used to be over here? And in the Paul that would say, well, you didn't work hard today, Gretchen. You know what I did? And to compare each other and, you know, all of this. That's the, you know, what's this Jesus? Who am I in this Jesus now? I want to know this new me that I am. The promise of identity, such a big one, under the umbrella of all the promises being yes and amen in Christ. Okay. Back to finishing up chapter 1. A couple of verses left there. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as unto Corinth. He's going to give a reason in chapter 2 primarily. But not before he says this in verse 24. And I highlighted this with yellow, and if I could turn a battery on that and make it shine, I would. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. We've established that so far today. By faith we stand, by faith we walk, by faith we sit, by faith we live, we breathe, we move forward in this life. We've covered that part of this verse. What we haven't covered is the rest. Such a key verse. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. Said Paul, this isn't why I am coming to you guys in Corinth, to have dominion over your faith, but to be helpers of your joy. I know what he's talking about. It's easy for us because we're trained by being children and having parents and then becoming parents and having children. We're trained in this mindset of having dominion over people. Dominion over them, flesh management. And here's the set of rules I need you to live by. Here's the things and achievements that I want you to do and all of these things. And having dominion over somebody's faith is not what we're called to do. We're not to have dominion over someone's faith, but to be helper. To be a helper of somebody's joy. For by faith you stand. huge difference. And as we're embarking on this and continuing to reach out and desire to reach the homeless, to reach those that are in the grave clothes of bondage, that it's not about having dominion over somebody's faith. And here's where you get into trouble. Here's how you can tell you have dominion over somebody's faith, is when you get all upset because they didn't meet the criteria that you imagined that they would. But if it was me, I would have done this. And if it was me, I would have done that. You take that and throw it right in the trash can, because that has nothing to do with Christ. Be a helper of somebody's joy today. Reach out to people with that mindset, that you're a helper of their joy, not of their happiness. That's different. Happiness is fleeting. Of their joy, something real. That's a spiritual gifting, impartation of God. Helpers of their joy. It's the first one in the list of love. Joy. Something that we're to have a completeness in and perfection in is the joy of God, joy of the Lord. What's been the problem all along with mankind has been our deficiency in love. We fall short because we don't measure up to all the rules and stuff. No, it's all that measurement, all the Ten Commandments was to measure the deficiency in love. Now we're to be workers, we're to be gardeners in that field, working in the arm in arm with each other, to being helpers for people's joy, that their joy would be full. Such a different perspective than having dominion over somebody. Ooh. Is this that kind of relationship of fear and just lording over people. You can have that. I don't know what ministries follow that procedure, but there's some out there, I'm sure. I want to sign me up on any sign-up sheet that says that we're helpers. We're out to serve people, to wash their feet, to lay our lives down, to put ourselves at risk for others, to love people as Jesus did. He touched the lepers. He loved the people, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the example that you set, and we want to continue to walk in that. Such a beautiful example Paul's going to give. I hate to leave you right there. I'm going to give that example in chapter 2 by reading the restoration of that person. We believe that because he's never named, we're not sure, but it's very evident that it's that person that was cut up in sin and that was expelled from the body, but now received in. And you should get the idea, an example, a real world thing here of what it means to be a helper of someone's joy versus dominion over your faith. But I am determined with this myself, I would not come unto you again in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is then that makes me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is in the joy of you all. So the idea isn't to come there and find out, okay, who's sinning now? Baseball bat time again, bang, 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 bang. And you just got a bloody mess going on there. That is not what we're called. That is not what the house of God is all about. Yeah, there's an unfortunate outturning of someone in that case, but that's not what it's all about. Now, this is what it's about, the restoration. This is why we call it the kingdom of grace, the restoration of an individual. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love, which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge or overburden you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. Everyone has shunned this individual. He said, this is good. That's enough. That's enough. So that contrarize, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you should confirm your love towards him. Nice place to finish right there today. Confirm your love towards him. Confirm your love towards him. It was never broken. The love was never broken. Even by having to turn someone aside sometimes and setting them in a difficult place because of their choices. Your love is never broken. Although it feels like it, it's not broken. The restoration comes and the confirmation comes, and that love is still there. If it was never there, there would never be the restoration. It was all judgment. It was all something else. To confirm the love, restore this one. Confirm the love. Praise you, Lord God. Lord, I pray your hand over this group. Make us that group that goes out to reconcile, to restore. We're just here for a short time on this earth, Lord God. We know it's just a short opportunity to walk in this grace, to experience this grace while we're in this world that's so crazy and such need of it. Well, what an opportunity at the same time, Lord God, to show your glory down here. Help make us helpers of joy, Lord God. Help us to sit down with that individual, whoever it is, and give them a meal. Help us just to hug someone. Help us just to smile with no agenda at someone, Lord God. Make a difference in their day. God, make our days filled with this. Fill us, Lord God, with that possibility through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are new. Lord, you've given me new eyes. You've given me new ears. All old things are passed away. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone.